Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
We are live. Yes, yes, we are live. Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Conin, Dennis Dick. I think we called yesterday's show Retail Rec, but that's really what today is. Big, big, big time Retail Rec, right? Obviously, you guys have seen Target by now. Target is dragging down every retail stock under the sun. That is the theme of today. We'll talk about that earnings report, what a disaster that it was. Our guest today, Michael Houston from CMC Markets, great guest from across the pond. Very much looking forward to talking to him today. Good morning, everyone in the chat. Good morning, Lord Jam, Patrick PK, Omer, Duncan, Dave, Chase, Jones, Shelly. What's up? What's up? What's up? Do me a favor, everyone. Hit that thumbs up if you'd be so kind. And that's what I got. Here we go.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conin.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Before I bring on Joel, a quick PSA for today. I forgot to mention this before, but we are going to do live trading after this show, and then that'll go into our next Benzinga bootcamp. So stay tuned after this show. Live trading is starting off our bootcamp, so I'll redirect you right to the usual gang, and then it'll go into our bootcamp from there. So just so everyone is aware of that. Second thing I want to say is if you guessed the correct CPI print last week, 8.3%, and you did not get an email from Benzinga, email me, SpencerIsrael@Benzinga.com, but you should all have gotten, I think there was 13 winners. I think you all should have received something from Benzinga yesterday because you got the CPI print correct. So I think we did that. Okay. Joel just weirdly stepped away for a second. I'm going to bring Dennis on. Oh, there he is.
I'm here.
Joel's back too. Okay. We're all here now. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing, Joel? Please bring up your charts.
Okay. Well, we're in the red by 32 and three quarters handles at 40.52. Crude's up 223 at 111.96. Gold is down 1040 at 1808.50. Silver's down 12 cents at 21.63. Bitcoin's down 260 at 29.740. Ethereum is in the red by $16 at 20.2650.
There we go. All right. So mixed morning in the futures markets, but we got to go right to Target here. That's
the only thing that matters.
That's the story of the day. Utter training wreck. I'll be honest. I tried to be positive, glass half full on the Walmart report yesterday because it certainly wasn't great, but it didn't seem like it was like that terrible to me. But this report, this Target report, is really bad. So top line sales, which we don't care about, but I'll give you anyway. Sales came in above estimates. Bottom line, earnings per share, big miss, big miss. Mm-hmm. EPS for Q1, $2.19 versus a $3.07 estimate. They kind of sort of reaffirm their revenue growth guidance for the year, but there's a whole lot not to like in this. The operating margins were way below estimates. Inventories way above where they're supposed to be. It's all bad here. It's all bad. Comps didn't grow. There's really not a lot to like in this quarter.
There's so much to unpackage here. There's so many implications for the overall market as well. This just, you can get by and say Walmart was a one-off. Like, okay, you know, they disappointed. It was a bad miss. Maybe even a little bit of overreaction by the street, it felt like. But it wasn't a good quarter. Set the bar low for Target. Target just like, don't even think about the low bar. It mattered nothing when you missed that bad. They are killing this stock this morning, and they really are. It's down 23%. It's down $50. It's giving back. Man, you got to go to the weeklies, but we are just killing. Like, we're giving back basically all of 2021 gains in one foul swoop. So here's a lower beta stock, typically lower beta, typically defensive, widely owned, getting murdered. This will turn people off of all stocks, not just retail stocks, all stocks, because they're like, man, if Target can fall 23% in a day, why the hell do I want this risk? This is a game changer for the market right now. We've had a nice rally off the lows, which we called Thursday. I think you got to lighten up now. And if you have to lighten up, you know, when we're down 30 handles, maybe that's the way to do it. You get a late morning rally or something in these stocks, I think you're selling. Unfortunately, this is just not good news. It's showing that the consumer is weak. It's showing inflation is a problem. It's showing, you know, obviously expenses are a problem for these companies to manage. Inventory problems, lots of problems. Not good news.
This is a great stat. This is from Rahul Sharma, who's a great Twitter follow on Twitter at retail underscore guru. He's just a retail analyst. Twitter ended the quarter with 72 days of stock, meaning inventory, which is much higher than the roughly 60 days of stock that it had pre-COVID. The stores are jam-packed with stuff right now that nobody is buying, or that they're buying at a much slower rate than they were before. Yeah. So people are buying it, but it's just not what it used to be.
Consumer is tight.
Yeah.
I mean, and at Walmart, Target's a lot of apparel, so you don't think about that as big ticket stuff. It's cheap. I mean, their clothing is cheap at Target. But again, people are just going to be tighter for money going forward. It was our whole thesis for why we were selling stocks 3 months ago. We've had a nice bounce because stocks were oversold, but you know, now we've had a bounce in a lot of stocks. I just can't see the market just completely ignoring. We kind of ignored Walmart yesterday, but now that Target does it too, now it's telling you that the consumer is weaker than all everybody else is telling you on CNBC.
Yeah, I'm not going to make the same mistake I did yesterday, thinking it was going to be a tight range. So I'll just give you your next monthly low that comes in. Back in 2020 in November, it had a monthly low of 152.80.
It's conservative stocks getting killed here now. Oh. That will spook a lot of investors. That's all, you know, all it is like we get more information, always getting more information. To make better trading decisions. The information I'm getting today tells me on any rip, I'm selling now. So selling more stocks. It's telling me that technology needs to bail us out today. That's what I'll say is if, you know, technology can come around and bail us out, the tech stocks, the beaten down tech stocks, that would be a good sign. But I don't think that's going to happen. There's been some pretty good, you know, a pretty good bounce here. And ARKK, and ARKK has nothing to do with Target, but I'm just saying there's been a good bounce for 3 or 4 days. It's had a nice 3 or 4 days of consolidation. It could have been consolidation to go higher, but I'm just worried the Target spills over into other stuff. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it doesn't do that. But right now, what you might see happen, S&Ps are down significantly. This is all Target's fault. There's no other reason. It's Target today. It's a Target sell-off. We're down 30 handles. Sometimes you get the buy the dip mentality coming in and say, okay, now I can buy the dip. I think those people will be wrong. But if you get a little bit of a rally after the open for whatever reason, I think you're selling that rally.
It's almost like that, like, I don't know what it is, like a saying or that like proverb or whatever. It's like first they came for my tech stocks and I didn't, or my growth tech, and I didn't care because I didn't like growth tech anyway. But then they came from my consumer staples and there was no one around to help me. I'm butchering that, but you get the idea, right? Yeah. There's a difference between like some moonshot stock that was always a moonshot coming back down to the crashing down to earth, and like Walmart and Target. Like Walmart, yes. Walmart doesn't drop 11% in one day. It did yesterday, but that's not a thing that happens normally.
Well, it's biggest moves ever.
Right, exactly. So I'm saying, I think it's the biggest move in 20 years, something like that, right? Yeah. Target has a beta of like, I'm looking at Walmart right now. What's Target's beta? It's less than one. It's not a very volatile stock to see it down like this.
It is today. It's telling you that there is risk in everything. Like you think if Target misses, you think they'll knock $10 off it. You don't ever think. I never envisioned a scenario where they would knock 52 points off of Target. And no, now you say, okay, well, wow, what a deal. I mean, but you could have said that when it was down 42 points an hour ago, and now it's down 52 points. I mean, we're right back into this. I'm not going to be the hero and try to catch the falling knife here on this disappointing quarter. The stock was kind of cheap going into it. It's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper after today, but with the earnings coming in so substantially, you got to revalue that too. So, I mean, they're taking no prisoners here. $162 here this morning. Joel, give us a technical level. Give me something.
152.80. I said
that.
Oh, my
gosh. It's 10 points lower again.
Yeah. I mean, I made the mistake yesterday of, you know, thinking it was going to be tight and it was going to hold. So, you know, let's see. You see what the pre-market low is and see if anybody tries to bring in stock there. You're leaning on the lows of the pre-market session. They're just all kinds of stops are going to be going off on the open. Is anybody crazy enough to have stops? You could go to 150, 140, 130, 120. Who knows? Could lose $100.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think that this is not going to bounce back quickly. You know, could we see 170, 175? That's possible. Forget about the 200s. Forget about the 210s. This was a disaster quarter, and they are punishing it. But it still spooks me to be, you know, I went from 52% cash to 42% cash in my long-term portfolio. I have one bad one that's going to get hit today. It's going to be Kohl's. You know, I bought that a few days ago because I was like, oh, you're getting some exposure. I bought a few different sectors. Valuation still attractive, but now you got to look at that too. And you revalue, okay, it's down 5%. They're hitting it because obviously apparel, Target's full of apparel. They're going to hit all apparel today. Nordstrom, down 6%. Yeah. Macy's, down 6%. I mean, you can go across the board here in retail right now, and it is ugly. And then you can even go to like your Kroger, down 4.1% because, you know, they got groceries. So Target sells a lot of different stuff. Anything that Target sells, if you've got a store that, you know, is similar, it sells that stuff, it's going to get hit here today. So it is across the board. It is ugly. I don't know what to say. I did not expect on any given day that Target would fall $51. I thought Walmart was an outlier to fall 12%. I cannot believe Target's down 23%. It makes me reevaluate everything.
Joel was just he was on the Dick's Sporting Goods chart. I saw DKS.
Yeah, which yeah. They report as just sympathy.
Yeah, I mean that's near the top of my losers this morning. You look at my losers. Yeah. The losers to
I don't even think Dick's report. Did Dick's say anything? Is there a downgrade?
No,
is there anything? It's down 8%. Just on Target.
Wait, they didn't report.
Can't be.
Dick's didn't report. They're not.
That's what I'm saying. Did they do anything?
No.
It's down 8% just because of Target?
Look,
an overshoot.
Almost every single stock that's leading the losers board this morning is retail, right?
It's retail massacre. Like, yeah. It is everywhere. You can just go to your retail stocks, XRT, if you want to just do them all. It's down 4.6%. Obviously, very diversified across all retail. So it's giving you a feeling. Retail index is going to be down like 5% today, just today. Just because of Target, because of one stock. What a market we're in, man.
So, again, like DG, Nordstrom, it doesn't matter. Pick your poison. BJ's, Macy's, even Costco. Oh, the holy grail of Costco. Even Costco is not holding up to say this
nothing
morning.
Is.
That's a company. We all love Costco. But it's not immune. So... I don't know. Joel, do you have thoughts on any of those?
Costco down another 28
thoughts on XRT or anything like that?
No, I just think you need to, you know, just go to your monthlies, and that's the only thing you can do. You're blowing through every level. Just keep an eye on the open and keep an eye on your monthlies.
Talk about a quiet fall from grace. Costco, a month ago, made a new all-time high at $612. It just lost 150 points here, just quietly. Didn't even get really very many headlines.
Yeah.
You know, just quietly getting killed. Has Costco even reported yet?
No, they're always way late.
So here you go. They've lost 25% of their market value, and they didn't even say anything.
No.
They didn't do anything. It's just because everything's falling apart. Algos,
man. They just, did they see the news? They see the headline? They have their list. Truth. Like you have your list, Dennis, and it just goes, you know, thinner right trading. Through. They can, you know, they can take out levels so easily with you know, not much stock.
It goes right through it all. Joel, you're absolutely correct. I mean, the algos, you know, just hit first, ask questions later. They see target fall 23%. They hit every retail stock. Even it shows you that you can even see the algos in the Macy's flash crash from yesterday. So you can see how quick they react. Macy's falls down the 30%. We talked about the flash crash yesterday, down to 15, immediately back up. They hit Kohl's and Nordstrom instantly, and they had little mini splash crashes because the algos are picking up the 15s and selling the Kohl's and Nordstrom against it. So they're trying to pick up that difference. So they hit all the bids on that too. So actually Kohl's, I don't think those were fat fingers. I think Kohl's and Nordstrom's were algo selling off of the Macy's. So it's crazy to think how much we're controlled by algorithmic trading, but we absolutely are. But this is scary. Just taking it back to Target, it's scary to think that, you know, a core holding in a lot of people's portfolio, lower beta, more conservative, lower valuation, can fall 23% in a day. Makes me scared to own stocks, and probably makes a lot of other people scared to own stocks. So think about that when you're buying the dip today. I think you could be on the wrong side.
And again, there's a big difference between like a some EV stock falling 20%. Or like Virgin Galactic falling 20%, and Target and Walmart, are they both in the Dow? I know Walmart, no, Target's not, but Walmart is. I mean, these are bellwether stocks that don't fall 10-15-20% in a day. They don't do it, and they're doing it. So
tough environment.
What about TJX? Because they also reported this morning. Then their report actually was not.
It's up.
Yeah, it's up because it wasn't even a bad report.
The low bar that Walmart and Target said.
Their earnings per share came in 68 cents versus 61 cent estimate. Revenue a little bit light there, but the EPS guidance that they gave for the fiscal year was in line with the street estimate. And again, TJX is looking not bad today.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters is that it didn't miss by a landslide. So the sales did miss, which is interesting.
Yeah,
but bottom line, we care about the bottom line more than anything now. It was a top line market in 2020. It is a bottom line market in 2022. Top line miss, bottom line beat. That's what they're going to focus on. The algos have completely been reprogrammed to look at the bottom line. They've figured it out already. And that's why you're seeing TJX actually turn around and trade higher. Does that mean I'm buying TJX? Nope. Because it's telling me that the overall consumer is still weak. I would sell the rally. Maybe it's going to be one that's going to go up to 60 is a big number for it.
Yeah, I agree. I was just going to say that. You had this big red bar here, and a lot of people are thinking, man, if this gets back to 60, it's a scratch. The pre-market high isn't there yet. The pre-market high, 58.36. I would really want to see this one continue off the open because, you know, people will be just, you know, like, you know, the overall mood of retail. They'll be like, whoo. We got sweated that one out. Just can't wait to whack it on the open. Top of yesterday's range, if you're looking for a gap fill, is down at 56.21.
This question from B. Crunset, I think I'm saying that right, in the chat, just asked if you can elaborate on the top and the bottom line. That's just referring to, so if you go to a balance sheet, right, and the number that's on top of the balance sheet is like the revenue, right? All the money that came in the door last quarter. And then there's all, you go through all the balance sheet, go through all the expenses, yada, yada, yada. And then you get to the bottom of the balance sheet where you get to the earnings. That's the bottom line, right? And that's what matters now is that bottom line. So any number that's earnings, operating income, or earnings per share, anything like that, that's like that reflects the bottom line, that reflects the revenue minus expenses and other accounting accounting noise, basically. Any number that reflects that bottom line, like like EPS does, that's a number that is more important now. So earnings per share is a quote-unquote bottom line number because it would theoretically show up on the bottom of the balance sheet. That's why we call – that's why we say the top of the bottom line. Revenues at the top of the balance sheet, earnings at the bottom of the balance sheet, earnings per share in this environment is more important than revenue. Somebody made a comment about selling TJX, I mean, in against – in this environment today, which is probably not the worst idea if you're selling into this rip. I had another thought I wanted to add on all this too. Oh yeah, there was also a comment earlier about, like, you know, in theory we talk about, you know, recessions and recession hedges and quote unquote safe stocks in a recession, and you think consumer staples, you think Walmart, you think Target, people still have to go to the store. But what did Walmart say yesterday in their report? They said that people are spending more on food and less on everything else, right? Which is like three quarters of the store.
They're going to eat.
Right. They got to eat, but they don't got to buy a TV. So yeah.
That's the problem. And that's where I keep coming back to that is it's just the math. It's all math, you know, and you know, people talk, oh, just play the charts. I mean, what we try to do at Bright Trading is we try to predict the charts. Like, we're trying to get ahead of the charts. I mean, the charts, you can look at any chart and see a setup. How did that target chart help you? You know, like, you got an earnings report coming on. Oh, you can say, oh, I look like a head and shoulders. It had to go down. That's just nonsense. It's all nonsense. I mean, we're technicals work well to find the levels after the fact, you know. But when you can figure out these relationships ahead of time, that's, you know, how I'm consistently profitable. You know, like, that's how I make money during bear markets. That's how it's relationship-based. It's why those algos are programmed. You know, those algos aren't stupid. The ones that are selling, you know, Kohl's and Nordstrom's off of Macy's bad numbers. Those things make money, man. A lot of money. A lot more than any of you guys in the chat. I'm going to tell you that right now. Those algos are killing it. Those relationship-based algos. So don't poo-poo relationships. Don't think you know it all from a chart. Charts help. It's one tool. But relationships are a hell of a lot more powerful than a chart. I'm going to tell you that's the truth.
And that's why we mentioned all the other stocks here, like Big Lots and Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Kohl's.
It doesn't matter what any of those charts look like coming in. It doesn't matter. They're going to be down because they're relationship-based.
Right.
Those are going down. The algos were killing it an hour ago trying to sell all those stocks. Killing it.
Joel, what about Kroger here? Because you called out a gap in Kroger here.
Just pointed that out. Yeah. You got a little ways to go. The top of that gap is 48.09. That's a buck away. You had consolidation near the low, of the recent move, right? And then you had then you needed a catalyst, right? And the catalyst wasn't a huge catalyst. I mean, it wasn't like Warren dumped all the stock. But Warren came out, sold some stock. That was a catalyst yesterday. Another negative catalyst with Walmart, and now you have the Target earnings. So the top of the gap is 49.49. So it's already filling that gap. So I stand corrected. The low on that day was 48. I mean, it's just a gap fill. It's a technical thing. It doesn't mean that, you know, Kroger's out of the woods yet or anything, but gaps tend to get filled.
And we didn't like this chart. And I mean, there is a place that the chart doesn't look good. There's nothing in there. But now you got a driver to even drive it through there. You know, and the driver is the target disappointment. So hard to be a buyer Kroger anywhere below 45. So we can use the technicals as a tool.
You said that yesterday. And sometimes you just throw out levels and you're just like, yeah, maybe 45. And I'm like, well, that's really cheap. I don't know if we're going to get to 45.
Best way to use technicals, Joel, is the levels. Just going and looking and saying, okay, we've got a catalyst that's going to knock us all down. Where are we going? That's how I would use the technicals today. I mean, it's not going to pick your direction coming into a target report. But once you know your direction and you know the direction on all these other retails and stocks is down, where are we going? Where do we potentially bounce? You know, where am I bringing in a short if I'm short the stocks? I mean, that's what you're looking at. So Kroger, it looks like there's nothing in there, man. There looks like nothing up 45. You're short this thing? I don't see a reason to get all like, oh my gosh, it's running back to 55. I don't know when it reports. I never like taking through reports. But I mean, everything on those technicals say this could see 45 again. Not today, but it could see 45 again.
Does this reverse the, I mean, does this take the low bar and like slam it through the bottom of the floor for the other people.
Oh yeah. So like who's upcoming here? Let's pull up their earnings. Who's upcoming? Who do we have still?
Kohl's
is tomorrow. BJ's, which is getting smoked here, is tomorrow as well. I'm sure there are probably a couple more next week.
I love the calendar here. It looks really
good. Yeah. So
VF Corp, I mean apparel.
Yeah.
Target's full of apparel. It's gonna get rocked today.
Oh yeah. Oh, gonna be all getting rocked.
All getting rocked.
Bath and Body Works, that's retail, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've had a few questions in the chat about Amazon, because Amazon is a retail stock in a lot. I mean, it is, but it's also its own animal. It's Amazon. So how do you look at Amazon today, Joel, in light of all this?
I mean, Amazon's already had its report. I mean, it's 2000. We talked about Amazon. It's turned. It's got. I mean, the only thing holding it up is a stock split, right? And that's coming up. I mean, 2048. Maybe if you feel like you need to own this thing, and you feel like you missed the bottom, you got a little pullback here, right? 50%. I look at this 2180. Down there, I wouldn't have any bids out there for 2180, but it's weird. I've been doing more shopping than ever. I don't know what's the retail. I guess I haven't been going
on Amazon. On Amazon?
No, I'm not. Just in general, I just needed some new threads. So I don't know. I guess I'm just doing it. I guess I'm not doing it at Target.
It's all basic math. Go back to your grade one math, and just go through. If you have less money to spend, your consumer will.
Wait, hold on. I have to write this down. I got to write this down. Hold on. I'm taking notes.
Your consumer will have less money to spend. Interest rates going higher, they will have less money everywhere. Your average person will have less money to spend. There is absolutely no doubt that eventually shows up in some demand destruction. It's already starting to show up in some of these stocks.
Okay.
So it's just math, folks. I mean, you got interest rates going higher. Your payments are going up. Your car payments, where you were getting 0% financing 2 years ago, you can forget about that. I mean, with interest rates going higher, it will slow down the economy. Is it going to put us into a recession? That is still to be determined. But there is absolutely no doubt that your average person will have less money to spend, and that is showing up already. And it just started. The party just started. So that's one reason why we've been bearish on this show for a long time. Bullish for 3 days, bearish for 3 months.
This entire time, we focused on just the consumer, but that's only part of Target's business. What about the input costs, okay? The conference call is going on right now, the Target conference call. They said they expect $1 billion of incremental freight costs this year. Hey, it's really expensive to get those goods into the stores in the first place, okay?
Scary.
There's basically nowhere for them to hide here.
This is, you've got less demand going to be happening from the consumer being strapped, and you've got input costs going up. You've got, the cost of getting the stuff in going up. Squeeze those margins. Squeeze those margins.
I mean,
they're tight margins at Walmart and Target. They're not big margins. Can they pass some of it through? They can pass it through on food. People got to eat. You're going to buy your gallon of milk. Can you pass it through on your, new pair of boots? Probably not. People say, I'll wear my boots for another year. Maybe, you've got to think about all those repercussions, especially when you're just coming in blindly buying the dip and saying, we're going back to all-time highs. BMO analyst yesterday, CNBC, all-time highs by the end of the year. Is he nuts?
I can say that.
He's Canadian. My wife worked at BMO. She probably knew this guy. But, probably not. But, it was 10 years ago.
He's Canadian.
But, Bank of Montreal, the biggest banks in Canada. What? Where are you coming from? How are you getting to all-time highs? I might be wrong. Maybe this is going to age very badly. But I do not see a path for us to get to all-time highs. I can't envision that path. I can't envision how you get there. Tell me, please. How do you get to 4,800? Besides just saying blindly buy the dip and stocks go up 20%. They always bounce back. We'll look at the quantitative numbers and we'll say every time we go down 30, we go up 20.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Joel. The war ends and inflation
goes down 4%.
That's
3%, 4%. Or at least 10%.
Putin gets taken out.
Not what he said.
And inflation. Well, that's the only way the war is ending. because he ain't stopping it. So Putin gets taken out, right, and you know, inflation falls back down. All of a sudden, you know, everybody on the, you know, every all wage inflation people say, oh, I don't need that raise. You know, I don't need, you know, I don't need more money. I don't know. Really tough, man. Tough, I have to envision all-time highs.
I have to correct the record. Earlier in the show, I said yesterday was Walmart's worst day in 20 years. My mistake. It was Walmart's first day since worst day since 1987, since the crash in 87. So my mistake on that. Worst day in 30 years for Walmart.
Maybe this someone just made a good point. Maybe this whole metaverse thing may work out anyways.
We're all moving to the metaverse. I love the metaverse.
All right.
How about my take two?
Man, we're being too
Disney, bearish. Disney take two. My metaverse place.
Being way too bearish today. What else is going on? Hey.
But I've been bullish for a while here. I've been bullish for 3 days. So I'm allowed to start to like, okay, we've rallied a little bit here.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm allowed to be a little bearish today.
Wait, what about the one retail stock that's up today? Oh, no, besides TJX, is the Container Store, TCS. Been in a massive downtrend here last decade or so, but the Container Store is up. Is it up this morning now? Almost 10%. They had earnings last night, and the earnings are good. EPS beat, sales beat, guidance beat. It was great.
Target and Walmart got to load up on containers to store all their inventory.
Maybe so.
That was a joke, but... I don't know. The Container Store. What's the all-time high on this puppy, Joel?
Oh, this was, it wasn't too bad. 1931.
No,
what? No, 47.
Oh, further back? I got the monthly up here.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I
think. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I just was looking short term here.
That was when, oh, yeah, these containers, a store that sells containers was like the coolest thing ever. That was cool for like a year, not even 6 months. So I don't know what to say. I saw all rallies in the stock.
I wonder if this is giving Tupperware a boost.
TUP?
I don't know.
It's a good call.
Yeah, it's flat. I mean, at the bottom of the moon. I mean, they've already reported.
It's both disaster stock. Look at that Tupperware, Churchill. $17 3 weeks ago. It's $8. There is a 2-for-1 stock split, but they didn't give you the stock. Yikes.
Yeah. Something. Ugly. What jumped out to me in the container? Something. Jumped out to me. I don't know. I doubt anyone's trading this today, but look at all that. You got all these highs, right? At I call it 820 to 830. You popped over 840 in the pre-market on 15,000 shares. So I'll even bring it down a little bit. There's several highs right there. Let's call it 820, 830. There you go. There's your resistance.
There was a question from earlier that I saw a few people asked it, and I'll ask it to Joel. A bit of a market psychology question. Joel, why do gaps in charts get filled later on?
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I mean, they don't all. I think it's just a psychology thing, you know, that, you know, price, you know, has a memory. And if it goes far away from an area for whatever fundamental circumstances, it's just kind of I think it's more of a psychological thing. I mean, there are some gaps out there that have never, ever, ever been filled, but I think it's more on your thicker stocks, you know, your more heavily traded stocks, you know, have memory. People sold it for, you know, or short positions. They're just using it. Dennis, you have anything to add to that? I think it's more psychological than any magic formula.
As stocks trade in an area again and again and again, it tends to, you know, gravitate. So you get traders that have prices from those, like they bought or sold at these prices. When you have a gap, there's nobody that's traded in that area. So there's just not much in there. So once it gets into that area, it can go through it because nobody bought the stock at like $33 and is trying to get back up there, and they're trying to get their money back because there's nothing that's traded there.
Right.
So that's the main reason. Like that's the behind it. But just know, like when stocks have gaps, they come back into those areas. They sometimes move very quickly through those gaps. That's why we were talking the Kroger chart. We had the big gap up. Well, you know what? The Kroger chart just boom, almost has filled that gap. We're talking the gap. If you go on the 90-day from March 2nd to March 3rd, when the stock gapped up from 48.09 to 52.25, I believe. You know, so you can see that gap right there. Actually, the gap is 49. The high of the day was 49.49. So you got a three-point gap in there. But it just filled it just now. So it did come back in. It filled it. Look how quick it filled it, Joel. Now, again, you can blame Target. But, I mean, technicals would say it took 2 days to fill that gap. So three-point gap, pretty big move for Kroger. I mean, this is, you know, just back to technicals, but.
And there's people that like, I really wanted to buy this when it broke out over 50. There are, I don't know if they're going to have that same psychology now, but they're like, man, I missed it. If this comes back down to 50, I want to get long. I mean, I don't know if that's the psychology of it now, but that's the way people look at it. Oh, it's back at 50. I'm going to, or a short target. I mean, the other thing too, I think for the intermediate trading, I think that there's, you know, algorithms that are, you know, designed longer out that maybe have been trading, you know, Kroger for the last, you know, 2 or 3 months with a probability of that gap being filled. And that's their target. And that's where they're going to, you know, they don't care if it's going to 48, 47, 46 or 40, started building the position, maybe at 55, 56, 57, you know, risking up to the high of the move. They'll take that. They'll get filled. They'll look for another gap.
Fun.
Yeah. All right. It's 8:35. In a moment, when he logs on, we will be joined by Michael Hewson, who is one of our favorites from across the pond over there, chief analyst at CMC Markets. Did you want to cover like one or two more earnings? We did have a couple more. We had like Doximity, which is a growth stock that's come crashing back down to earth. Down 13% today. I think we had Eventbrite report earnings as well.
I just want to say, Elon, does pre-market data count when filling the gap? I mean, if they do it in the pre-market, I mean, chances are they're going to do it in a regular session too. I mean,
but I would say no. Like, take the Macy's example from yesterday and the trade down, the fat finger in the pre-market down to $15. I mean, that's not even, you know, in the realm of where the stock has been or where it's going. I mean, that was just an oops trade. So I think the simple answer to that question is no.
That's kind of like, well, that's, I don't even consider that trading. I mean, a gap. Because it filled. It went down, it came back up. So make it back down to 15.
Earlier in the show, Dennis said, you know what we'll save us today is tech. If we get saved, it'll be tech.
It's the only thing.
Joel, can you pull up the AMD chart? Because AMD just had a great couple of days.
Off an upgrade. Yeah.
well, yesterday, yeah, but it's had a great like 4 days.
Yeah, it did with the market. I would be, I mean, I said 100, holding 100. I talked about that level. Let's see if it holds 100. If it holds 100 the next couple of days, boom, you built another leg up and you take a shot at 110. But I still think, I mean, people got crazy in that thing yesterday, and see if it can hold 100 today.
The path out of this, the only, like, we're in a mess here. Target has put us all into a mess here. Well, ignored Walmart. They won't ignore Target because it's way down way more, and it means Walmart wasn't a one-off. So the only way out of this mess is for beaten down tech to save us. And that can happen. That's the path that I envision that we could, you know, shrug this off and close green. I don't think that's going to happen. So I think you're going to see some buy the dippers off the hop. I think it wouldn't surprise me if we rally back 15, 20 handles, but I think the sellers will overwhelm them. So I think we close significantly lower at the end of the day. So the way I'm approaching the day is I'm going to be looking for that like 940, 945 rally to sell stuff.
Ooh.
The rotations take a little bit longer. This is kind of like catching people off guard. Like the way the retail is just completely, you know, falling apart. So maybe they thought they were translating some profits in Target into something else, but now people are kind of caught because it's just, you know, been such a violent reaction. So, you know, if they're going to have to work their way out of the retailers, and they just might like say, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll just sit this out for a couple of days. And,
that's what I'm scared of. Maybe the low of the move was an ink. I'll let the dust settle here a little bit. A lot of air. You know, AMD, put it in perspective here. Long AMD, long-term portfolio. $83 4 days ago. It's 102.
I know.
It's like 25% in 4 days.
Great.
I mean, this is a rip to sell, probably. Probably talking against my long-term portfolio, but I mean, if you're coming in buying it now, it just rallied 20%. You're buying somebody else's profits. You are literally letting that person get out that bought at 83, 84, 85. I mean, it's made a one-month high. I think the stock is beaten up, too beaten up. I think it was ridiculous down at $83, but it's rallied. This is a big move now. So, I mean, there's going to be profit takers, especially on a day when you're seeing the stocks getting beats across the board. There's going to be some profit taking in certain stocks, and you're already seeing that this morning.
And the thing is, like, for the last like 12 years, it really paid to chase, right? Chasing was okay because market would bounce back at some point, and that worked for you. It really paid to chase in 2020 and 2021. It has paid to wait in the last 15 months or so, right? It's paid to wait. It's not paid to. It's paid to wait for the dip and buy on that, then chasing stocks just hasn't worked. So
not in 2022.
No, not in the slightest.
As much as, and remember, there's two sides. There's momentum and contrarian. The contrarian trader, the person that's selling the rips, buying the dips in 2022, is doing very well. I mean, yeah, some of these dips were prolonged, but especially the rip seller. I mean, every single rip has just been sold. It's been, I've been saying, in 2022, selling the rip, selling the rally has been way easier than buy the dip was in 2020. It's been so easy on the sell the rip side. It's like, oh, that stock's going up. Well, you know, it's going to be down 3 days. And it is. I mean, Visa kills the earnings report. The stock rallies. Kramer gets all excited. Oh, yeah, this is the turnaround for Visa. 220. Where is it? 204. I mean, this has just been this market. It's been take the money and run market. So you get the pop, you sell it. You don't chase. Kramer chases everything. Don't listen to that. It's wrong.
And just as a reminder on the Amazon thing is the stock split date, the 24-1 split date is June 3rd, which is 2 weeks from this Friday. When Apple did this and Tesla did this the first time, we saw these huge runs into the split. I'm really not sure we're going to see that again because it's just a different kind of market right now. So it is an artificial catalyst. It doesn't really do anything to the value of the company, obviously, but it does make the stock more affordable and can promote buying. But if you are into that thing, June 3rd, you have 2 weeks from this Friday until that split happens in Amazon. I don't know where Michael Houston is, so we're just going to keep on going.
When is split day for Amazon?
June 3rd. Just
coming.
Yeah, 2 weeks from this week.
If the market can turn around, that can, you know, and I did rebuy some of my Amazon. We know that. If the market can turn around, this, you know, could have that potential run up into the split, but I don't know. It's really at the crossroads. Joel, is there more an important day for this market than today? I mean, this
Joel
is,
says that every day.
This
every
one's day.
Monday
really
was.
CPI day
Monday
was.
Monday was. And I was bullish.
Remember.
Yeah. Well, no, because we had to follow through on Friday, and I really tried to, you know, be bullish on Monday. It looked good. It looked good. It looked good. And then we lost 40 handles in the last hour, and I was like, well, no, we're not going to rally. And then we rallied yesterday. So Monday's low. I mean, that's the only thing that you got to keep an eye on right now. And that's not close. That's down at 39.79.50. So we're still above the low for the week. We ran into problems up at the weekly highs. So I thought Monday was. Today's an important day, too. But Monday's low. I mean, if like you talk about the savior with these other stocks and the technology coming in, then everything – Monday's low will hold. If not, boom, you're going back to 38.55 in a heartbeat.
Someone just asked a question. Is there an inverse retail ETF? I don't actually know. I don't believe so. Oh, yeah, there is. It's relatively new, though, and not very – oh, no, it's not. It's a couple years old, but I think it may be dead. Never mind. If there is, I'll do some research and find out for you in the next few minutes. All right, let's look at quick. You want to look ahead a little bit, because on the earnings calendar we do have Cisco tonight. You want to look at that? I mean, it's not in the same camp as what we've been talking about. It's a value tech stock, but it is going to have a catalyst tonight.
That's coin flip. Could do anything. The chart, yeah.
Okay.
Could do anything.
All right.
What stock are you talking about?
Cisco reports tonight. I have a small trading position, so I'm not going to give any comments.
Let's see. I got walloped after that last report. I mean, look at the low. Concentrate on the low of the move here. The low of the recent move has been 47.47. What you have, like a 4-point rally? Yeah, just about, right? Halfway back on that 3-point rally, buck and a half needs to hold 49.25.
All right, there really isn't much outside of retail. What's on your list? My list is mostly exhausted because it's all retail. Everything.
Well, that's what's the only thing that's important here today is retail.
Someone asked if Kohl's is still getting bought out. No,
they've rejected
every offer. So.
Yeah, they rejected. It's come all the way back down. And you know, and Kohl's going to get hit today. There's no doubt off target it's going to get hit. You got good support down here in Kohl's at 45, but I'm long Kohl's. I put in the long-term account because, you know what, it's cheap. But now this target number, it makes me scared on everything. So, I mean, do I want exposure to retail? I basically bought Kohl's. I'm down in it now. It was up yesterday. But, I mean, I bought this. I don't know, 46 and change. Yeah. So I'm slightly down now. Close 48, 47 is looking good. Not anymore. Target just poo-pooed it. So it makes me reevaluate, do I want to own retail stocks right now? I mean, they all look cheap, but Target and Walmart didn't look expensive either. And all of a sudden, they're coming in way under. That makes me think as Kohl's going to do the same thing. So I'm scared of all retail right now.
Sorry, I'm just... Michael Houston just emailed me, but he didn't.
I'm surprised.
That's okay. We can go without a guest.
I don't know if he's joining us today or not.
We can go. I can already. You know, I can do a run on sense for 25 minutes if you want. So
he emailed me, but he didn't indicate that he was going to join our
show. Do some ticker time. So, give us some tickers here.
Yeah, here. There's a good ticker just now. We haven't talked about this one for a long time. Regeneron. You want to look at that guy?
It's held up well. I mean, pharmaceutical stocks have done very, very well, unbelievably well. The one sector that has not been hit is big pharma. Merck, made a new 52-week high yesterday. Lilly, very close to 52-week highs. I mean, Pfizer's come off because, the COVID's, it was obviously got the COVID boost, and, now that's coming off. But, I mean, big pharma has done very, very well in this market and held up very well. And they're cheap valuations too. So, I mean, Regeneron is big pharma. I would say that I'm skeptical that they don't come for everything eventually. So in the case of Regeneron, you've almost got a nice 50% retracement of the sell. Yeah. 747 down to 600, 150 points, so 75 points up would get you right to about yesterday's high, 670 to 675. I think you're running to resistance here. I think if you're long Regeneron, I think you sell it, unfortunately. Just my opinion.
Yep. 674, 675 is where that comes in. Yeah. There's also your retracements are better if they coincide with some other daily highs.
Yeah.
There's two daily highs right there. And let's just call him 677.
All right. Michael Houston is here now. He's from CMC Markets. He is their chief market analyst. Let's get Michael Houston on the show. Mr. Houston, good morning, sir.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear us. Uh-oh. All right. Let's try this. I'm going to move Michael backstage. Going to get him to a different room, see if we can test our audio there. But and if you can hear me now, Michael, give me a thumbs up. But his headphones are failing him right now. So let's do some more ticker time while I troubleshoot with
Michael. You troubleshoot me and Joel grab tickers. We're going to the chat. Give us your tickers. We're talking them right now.
I'm scrolling up here.
I am too.
Generac. Let's look at Generac.
Been killed. Just killed. I mean, there's been so many, good companies that have been taken out. $524 down to $225. What's the PE? When this thing gets to a PE of 20, tell me, because I'll buy the stock. I don't think you're there yet. And Spencer left, so I was asking him. Joel,
I have it. For this one, it's down 66 cents. You've had a nice little move. You got it. Unfortunately, you got a triple top to contend with. This one's not looking too bad technically. If you could just put on the goggles and forget about the market, these things aren't cheap either.
It's forward PE's 19-20, so you're right there.
229. This could be one that catches a bit. Actually, you've got three interesting days here. Three matching lows and three matching highs. So. But it takes out the 218, then you look for a 50% retracement.
I could be talked into nibbling into something like this. I mean, you're starting to find, what's got value. I just look in. I mean, again, you've got to, want to buy stocks. But, $200, if you're sticking this in your long-term portfolio, are generators going away? I mean, I don't think so. Is it going to give back the entire COVID pop, which would take us back to $100? I don't think that's going to happen. That would be a 50% haircut, though, which is a scary thought. And were the earnings elevated? I think I got to do more homework and just see what the trend of the earnings are. Did we have an elevation in earnings that's making that PE look cheaper than it is? But at 19.20, that doesn't look too expensive to me. Not for Generac. Good company, man.
Yeah, all right. 215 is the would just roughly be mid-range on the move.
Michael says he can hear us now. Michael, give me a thumbs up if you're ready. Yes. All right. Good morning or good afternoon for you. How are we doing today?
I'm very well, sir. Very well indeed. Sorry about the audio problems, but I had a previous interview overrun and I couldn't get rid of him. So rather than be rude, I just sort of sat it out. But I'm sorry, I should have told you sooner.
Hate when that happens. We've been talking a lot today about retail and about the consumer. And obviously inflation is a part of that. I just saw today that inflation over it was in the UK or in Europe is at 9-10% now.
9% here in the UK, went up from 7% in March. 4.2% of that was gas, electricity prices, gas as in LNG, and petrol as in gasoline. Made up 4.2% of that 9%. So, a fairly chunkier figure, and it's probably going to go higher as well. So, it's not good. It's not good. And wage growth is 4.2%. So, real terms haircut there.
Is there anything that you are feeling glass half full about right now with regards to the economy or the markets in general?
Not really, no. I mean, obviously, I think I think it's very easy to be pessimistic about these markets. And certainly, I think in terms of the way the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are behaving, I think this is very much a bear market rally that we're seeing here. I think unless we can get back above 4,100 on the S&P, we're going to go to 3,500. And I think we're going to go to 10,500 on the NASDAQ before we get any significant sort of rebound. I think what Powell said last night suggests to me that the Fed is all in until the end of the year. And I think that is going to be very, very difficult to push back against, particularly at a time when the US consumer does appear to be pulling back, even though those retail sales numbers so far this year show no evidence of that.
How's inflation looking where you're at? You know, you're in a different economy.
It's really ugly. It's ugly. I mean, the UK economy contracted in March by 0.1%. The only economic expansion that we've seen thus far this year was in January, when the economy grew by 0.8. Since then, the economy's not grown at all. And I think there's a good chance that over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, we'll struggle to grow at all. What I would say is that wages are going up. Unemployment is its lowest level since 1974. And we have over 1.2 million vacancies. So the labor market is tight, which I think in terms of potential wage growth is good, which means that hopefully consumer incomes won't fall too far behind the inflation ratchet. The biggest concern that I have is really the performance of the pound. It's fallen 9% against the dollar over the last 12 months. And that introduces a significant inflationary impulse in terms of prices into the UK economy, because essentially everything's priced in dollars.
And this all sounds great, Michael.
You're making me feel warm and tingly inside.
Can you elaborate when you say Jerome Powell is all in? Elaborate on that, please.
Well, I think we'll see 50 basis points in June. I think we'll potentially see another 50 in September, and potentially another 25 at the subsequent two meetings after that. I lied in with balance sheet reduction. That is going to be a significant tightening of monetary conditions.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by that.
What is this? Okay, so this is how like you feel, but you're having conversations with clients and such, and what's the sentiment that you can gauge out there?
They're very much in terms of playing the market, it's very much we cater very much for traders as opposed to investors. So there's very much a sell the rally mindset going on here, you know, in terms of getting into selling any strength on any rallies.
I was going to say, how do we shake that mindset? It's a great point you're making, because in 2020, we had this mindset of, I just buy the dip and I make money. And now the traders have the exact opposite mindset. I sell every rip, because if I don't, stock's going to be down tomorrow. So, I mean, how do we break that?
Well, I use technicals to break that. So for me, I think in very simple terms, if we can get back above and hold above 4,100 on the S&P, then for me, that would break, because that for me was the breakout point on the downside. And there was a similar point on the NASDAQ, I think, at around about the same sort of level. You know, and I very much trade on levels. So for me, these pivot levels, as I like to call them, are key in terms of my mindset when I look at the market. But what I also want to see is a turnaround in the dollar. And at the moment, people are calling for a top in the dollar. I don't see that. And I think at the moment, until we see some evidence that the dollar is going to turn around and start coming back lower, it's going to be very difficult for equity markets to rally. Because essentially, I think the dollar is almost like it's a risk trade in terms of investor and trader appetite for risky assets. If the dollar starts to roll over, then that would encourage me to start going long risky assets. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I mean, as long as interest rates are going up and they're going up for the foreseeable future, I mean, what else could be a bigger catalyst behind the U.S., you know, behind the U.S. dollar, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, of course, you have your inflation, you know, eating into whatever real rates of return you have. My question to you is, what's going on with gold and silver here? I mean, supposed inflation hedge. I get nothing's an inflation hedge with gold and silver here. Is you just think that this is no one wants to own anything here? Or give us your outlook for gold and silver.
You get a better return with the dollar, quite simply. You know, if the Federal Reserve is going to push rates up or the Fed funds rate up through 2% and 3%, why would you own gold? It doesn't yield you anything, and then you've got storage costs on top. You might keep a certain amount of your portfolio in gold, but the 10-year yield is around about 3% as I look at it right now, and potentially could go back to 3.2%. So, you know, why would you own gold? It makes no sense to me.
That's a question people have been asking for 20 years, man.
I've done about 20 years, about 200 years, probably.
All right, yeah, you're right. Yeah, all right. You got me there. All right, Michael Houston, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, joining us from across the pond. Michael, appreciate it. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
Thanks, Michael.
Cheers. Thank you. All right. Sorry for being late.
It's okay. We forgive you, Michael. All right, we got like 2 minutes left here in the show. Do we want to go and give us any final thoughts and do final tickers? We're making new lows.
I think just the same thing. I think rallies are going to be sold here today. So we saw a little rally there for a little bit, and then another wave of selling comes in. You've got some people sitting on some profits for the last few days. They're going to want to take those profits. It's different. I mean, again, you can say, well, it happened with Walmart, and we rallied yesterday off it. I think it's different this time because now we know it's not a one-off. It's not a Walmart problem. It's a consumer problem, it appears to be. And obviously, margins are getting squeezed. You're going into retail earnings season, which means there's going to be more retailers that report, which is a scary thought as well. I'm scared here. I'm scared again.
Yeah. Also, I probably have some downgrades coming into these stocks, too, looming and adjusting numbers. So that won't be there's a couple daily. Just keep an eye on your daily lows from yesterday. We're still within yesterday's range. And then, you know, beyond that, you have, Monday's lows, and they tested those several times during the day before we had the rally. I mean, on the upside, you know, people just want to see unch. You know, it doesn't look like you're going to see that in the S&Ps by any stretch of the imagination, but maybe you will on some of your individual issues. Market's going defensive today.
Yeah. All right. This is maybe one of the most bearish days we've had on this show in quite some time. But hey, some days you're bullish, some days you're bearish. That's how it goes.
Why we're in a market, yeah.
That's what makes a market. All right. We're going to end the show right here. As I said off the top, we're going to go live to our boot camp today, which is starting off with live trading. So we're going to end this stream, redirect you over to our boot camp stream, which is going to start off with myself, Money Mitch, and Junaid. Taking you through the open here. So before we go, as a reminder, please remember all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Thanks to our guest, Michael Houston. Thanks to all of you in the chat. And before you go, just hit that thumbs up. And hey, while you're there, if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, that'd also be great. Just click that subscribe button. That'd be cool. Thank you. All right, I'm done. I'll see you guys over on our very next stream in like 1 minute. So stay tuned.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.